Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update this Tuesday evening. Lovely to have your company. We're going to take you through the main news of the day in just under half an hour. So coming up tonight, we'll have the details on that bull that was on the loose in the Tramode area earlier today. Also, the island's inflation rate has dipped slightly. We're going to break down the numbers and explore what that might mean for your household budget. We also remember Roger Tomlinson, a key figure and driving force behind the Positive Action Group. And later, we'll find out about a poetry anthology being released by a former bard. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch about any of the stories you hear about, you can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Christian Fastamai.
Fastamai. Inflation on the Isle of Man dipped slightly in September, standing at 2.9%, down from 3.3% in August. Figures from Statistics Isle of Man show price growth easing overall, helped by falling energy and fuel costs. The leader of the Manx Labour Party has criticised the Council of Ministers, describing it as an impromptu form of party politics without real cohesion.
I think within Council of Ministers meetings there will be a lot of argument and not very much coalescence on certain issues.
Joni Farragher says the way the executive is forcibly created results in a government structure that slows down decision making. Tributes are being paid to Roger Tomlinson, a founder of the Positive Action Group, following his death. He established the organisation 20 years ago, which has since held regular public meetings on current issues. And former Manx bard Michael Manning is set to release a poetry collection on homelessness next month, inspired by his work with a charity on the Isle of Man.
You know, we don't see people begging down Strand Street or necessarily sleeping rough in shop doorways, but it does happen on the margins, but it's out of people's sight.
To international news now, Israeli officials say the Rafah crossing will stay shut tomorrow with aid flow into Gaza restricted. It's after Hamas handed over just four bodies of the remaining 28 deceased hostages. Meanwhile, the mother of Matan Angrist, one of the 20 living captives freed yesterday, has spoken about his ordeal.
He has told us he was tortured brutally, at least in the first few months. He was on his own for a long time, under watch. But he told me, "Mum, even in the most extreme situations, I knew I wasn't going to submit to these monsters, and I'm not breaking."
Nigel Farage has admitted he's deeply, deeply concerned that an asylum seeker who threatened to kill him could walk free in 18 months. Afghan national Fayez Khan has been jailed for 5 years after footage was posted on TikTok a year ago today. And actor Josh O'Connor says he's uncomfortable with being a sex symbol. The 35-year-old admits it's weird that fans find him handsome. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Christian. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So pretty overcast, but mainly dry with some hill fog throughout this evening and overnight. There'll be light winds, minimum temperatures around 10, and pretty similar for tomorrow as well. Overcast, mainly dry, some hill fog, possibly a few outbreaks of drizzle over higher ground, so not good if you have that sort of hair. Light and variable winds and maximum temperatures of 13. Sunset this evening, 6:24. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. So something you might have heard about earlier today was that incident with the bull in the Tramode area. Lewis is with me now. So Lewis, what can you tell us about what happened?
So around 11 o'clock this morning, police put out a message warning of a bull which they said was believed to be dangerous on the loose in the area of Tramode. They said they told anyone in the area to stay in their vehicles, stay in their homes and not to approach the animal. And to show you the urgency of this situation, this initial message was quickly followed up with another which said the bull was heading towards Quarterbridge. No more than half an hour later, however, officers said the situation had been resolved. This was followed up by another statement saying that the bull had been, quote, safely dispatched. This, for anyone wondering, means the bull had been killed. Officers had evacuated the area and a number of roads were closed after the animal's owner couldn't control it. The bull was located in a car park off Peel Road and dealt with by trained officers. Now, of course, whenever an incident like this ends with the killing of an animal, there are questions for the police. There has been a number of criticisms online in the way this matter was resolved, and we have approached the Isle of Man Constabulary for further comment. So far, we're yet to receive a response. Now, we also understand there is a video of this incident being circulated online. Police have asked people to be mindful when sharing this video, which is naturally quite distressing.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. The full details of that story are on the Manx Radio website. The confirmation that plans to redevelop the historic nuisance building on North Quay and Douglas has been met with mixed reaction. We heard about this on the programme yesterday. Planning approval has been granted on the condition that measures are taken to preserve the former warehouse's character. Now, the building has faced numerous obstacles over the years, with planners facing scrutiny over multiple rejections. But it does seem that public opinion differs on what should become of one of the harbour's oldest buildings.
Well, I think this area is really lovely, and we were only just talking about the big modern buildings behind, and isn't it lovely that some of the original buildings have been kept? So just probably doing this back to its former glory would be fantastic, and it would really make the area, it's lovely to visit anyway, but even better.
I suppose I might say former glory, it was a warehouse basically. It was a fairly workaday building in its time. Do you think it's important to keep things like this?
I absolutely do. I think people really do appreciate heritage and the past, and I think it gives something to connect to. If you look at the Albert Dock area, for example, in Liverpool, they were all old warehouses at one time, and they've been restored. They're absolutely stunning. And by the way, if you've not been, go and visit. And there's apartments there, they've built museums, and it's such a thriving area. There's hotels, and it's a real visitor destination now, so absolutely important.
I'd like to see something more modern, better shops or more restaurants.
Well, what about the sense of history that this imparts? This is an old part of the dockside here. Do you think that's important?
Yeah, it is.
Should be modern. Well, the bits that it needs to be knocked down.
Yeah. But how about the old face of the warehouse? Does that need to be kept? It'll be a big job to try and keep it in the building.
It looks all right at the moment, but it just depends what's inside.
I think it needs restoring. I think try and keep, you know, the original brickwork and just brighten the place up and get more tourists down here.
I'm really glad they've got planning permission. I hope it gets done, because it's a bit unsightly.
Do you think it's important, a part of the old building, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember it whenever nuisances were trading here. So it's got lots of memories of me when my children were small, coming in to buy their camping gear and...
Yeah, the argument is it's the last bit of the old warehouses around the quay, so yeah, people say it's important. Others say, no, put something modern in.
Oh, no. No, I think they need to keep the old. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
That was John Moss finding out what the public thinks about plans to redevelop the historic nuisance building on North Quay. I'm sure many of us remember going in there to get our camping gear. It's coming up to 10 past five. And we heard today that the island's inflation rate has dipped slightly. So it now stands at 2.9% for September. That's down from 3.3% in August. These latest figures are from Statistics Isle of Man. And really, they show that price rises have eased overall, although certain areas do remain stubbornly high. Well, Christian, the whiz with the numbers, has been looking through this report. Christian Fastemeyer, just tell us first, what is driving the numbers this month?
Fastemeyer, I'm not sure whether I'm the whiz with the numbers, but while the overall rate has slowed a little, some everyday costs are still climbing quite sharply. The biggest increase was in restaurants and hotels, where prices are up around 8% on last year, mainly because of higher catering costs. Next, education saw the next largest rise, 6.2%, with preschool fees in particular up by more than 11%. And of course, food and drink also continue to add pressure, rising just over 5%. That's largely led by convenience foods, soups, coffee, all of which have seen double-digit increases.
OK, so while inflation then has come down a bit overall, people are generally still feeling the squeeze in certain areas. What about the things that have become cheaper?
Yeah, that's right. The main relief has come from energy and fuel costs, which have been falling steadily. Oil and other fuels are down by more than 12%. Gas is down 8%. Petrol and oil dropped by around 5%, 5.5%, apologies, over the year. Those declines have helped to offset some of the increases elsewhere.
OK, Christian, for those people who might not follow this closely or really understand what it's all about and what it means, not talking about me, obviously. What does an inflation rate of 2.9% mean in practical terms?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. In simple terms, it means that on average, the things people buy are 2.9% more expensive than they were a year ago. So inflation tracks how quickly prices are rising. So when it's higher, people's money doesn't stretch as far. When it slows, as it has this month, it suggests prices are still increasing, but at a slightly gentler pace. The report also points out that service-based costs, things like hospitality, childcare, domestic help, they remain high, even as goods such as fuel or groceries stabilise. And in fact, the cost of domestic health has gone up by nearly 18% in the past year. Rent, one that we often hear, puts considerable pressure on some. That's up by 8%.
And then how does this all compare to previous years then?
Yeah, so inflation is now far below the peaks of 2022, 2023, when it was close to 11% at some points during the global energy and supply chain crisis. So the latest figures actually show that while prices are still rising, the pace is much slower than during that period, at least.
Christian, I told you the wizard numbers. Thank you very much indeed. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 12 minutes past five. Now, Roger Tomlinson, who is one of the driving forces behind the Positive Action Group here on the Isle of Man, has died. The PAG stage many meetings, usually at the Manx Legion Club here in Douglas, giving their audience the chance to discuss topics of the day. And political groups were also welcome to give their views, something Roger told us previously that he felt was important.
We're hoping to give them a platform to speak to the public and to fully explain what they're about, because generally this is all done on social media, and we feel that politics is about live events, and that's why we hold regular live events all through the year.
Now, you've mentioned the Manx Labour Party is celebrating 100 years this year. It's certainly proven that political parties in the Isle of Man can have longevity. Do you see that happening with any of the other parties that are around at the moment?
I certainly do. Liberal Vanin, I think, has proved itself, because it was only started in 2006 by Peter Caron, who subsequently retired. But it had, I think, three members elected that year, two the following election, and I think three in the last election. So there is a caucus of Liberal Vanin support within the island, and certainly I think that will continue. And as you say, the Manx Labour Party is celebrating 100 years. Now, that is a real celebration. So when you imply that there's no room for political parties, how come that the Manx Labour Party has lasted so long? Now, that remains with the Green Party, because that has certainly gained credibility in the UK and also in the wider European sphere. So why should it not gain credibility and support, further support, here in the Isle of Man? So, yes, I think that there is room for political parties on the Isle of Man, and long may it continue.
Oh, that was Roger Tomlinson, one of the driving forces behind the Positive Action Group. That interview was recorded back in 2018, and he was talking to Catherine Nicholl.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages this evening. If you do spot anything when you're out and about and you're able to let us know, we're always very grateful. 166177 is the text number, or you can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com. The usual things that we've been seeing out and about, though, just to look out for, there are temporary lights on Tramode Road. That's near Douglas Avenue, 24 hours a day. That's for repairs to a gas leak. Still those temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. In Santon, the Mount Murray back road closed for the building of a concrete underpass, and the mountain road still closed at the moment from Brandywell to Craignabar. That is due to reopen on Monday. All okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman due into Douglas Harbour at around about 6 p.m, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15 here on Update, and we're going to stay with the notion of political parties, because the leader of the Manx Labour Party has criticised the Council of Ministers, describing it as an impromptu form of party politics without real cohesion. Joni Farragut was speaking on the Man in Line at lunchtime with Andy and said the way the executive was forcibly created resulted in a government structure that she believes slows down decision making.
Because ultimately it is a party system that we end up having. It's just an impromptu one with no actual cohesion. Because that's why we create the Council of Ministers that don't have any political cohesion, and backbenchers that again don't have any political cohesion, who are supposed to be the two opposing parties in our Parliament. So we have to forcibly create a party system once a Parliament's formed, and that does lead to very long-winded decision-making processes.
I mean, it's been mentioned in the past that these things kind of just happen and it will coalesce and it'll turn out okay in the end.
That's a very optimistic view, isn't it? It will coalesce. There's not very much coalescence on when you are forcibly creating a group of people who are supposed to agree on everything, and you have to bind them by collective responsibility. I think within Council of Ministers meetings there will be a lot of argument and not very much coalescence on certain issues. And it would be the same for the backbenchers, whereas if we did have those political parties, there would be a lot more coherent, there would be a lot more agreement.
That is the leader of the Manx Labour Party, Joni Farragut, who was on Man in Line alongside Laurie Hooper from Liberal Vannin this lunchtime. You can watch that video back on Manx Radio's social media pages or listen back as a podcast at manxradio.com. We have invited government to respond to Ms Farragut's comments. 5:17. Now, the outgoing clerk at Braddon Commissioners says he believes local authority reform will only happen if Tinwald orders it. Colin Whiteway started at Braddon in 2007. He was the successor to Buster Lewin. And in that time, he's seen the board through litigation, the development of the roundhouse and new social housing developments. Mr. Whiteway says he hopes to leave the next clerk the opportunity to expand and enjoy the position, as well as improve people's experiences of the commissioners.
I came into a new environment and litigation was flying everywhere. It was difficult to get a grip on, and the organisation wasn't set up the way I was used to. So that took a bit of change and making sure things work the way I want them to work. Since I started, there's always been something going on within Braddon. It's either the previous carts litigation or building properties or building the roundhouse. So it's been a real, real problem, but enjoyable. What have I taken from it? Patience. Patience has been, that's the only thing you do. Just keep going steadily forward. That's the best way to deal with it.
And what about the local authorities in general? Obviously, you must have seen change at other local authorities and the neighbours as well. So what do you think has been the biggest change as a whole for local authorities?
I don't really think that there's been too much change. And local government reform has been talked about for so many years, has never actually happened. The only minor change was when GARF was created with a combination of those three authorities. Other than that, it's been pretty steady, and it probably would benefit from reform, but people seem to be resistant to that, and I think that's something that needs to be considered in the future, but it's about everyone working together. To be honest, I can't see local authority reform taking place until we're told to take place. I don't think people will slowly change like GARF did. No one will really want to take that jump. I don't really know whether anyone will ever do it, to be honest. I don't think Tinwald will ever stand up and be prepared to say this has got to happen. But that is the only way it's going to happen, if they instruct us to do it, and then we could do it.
What kind of position would you like to leave Braddon Commissioners in for the next clerk?
I'm hoping I'm leaving them the opportunity to expand and enjoy the expansion all the hard work has been done, hopefully, and it's just now using what we've got now, really improving people's experience of what a local authority can do.
That is the outgoing clerk at Braddon Commissioners, Colin Whiteway, who was talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. Now, at the start of the programme, we were talking about that bull that was on the loose in Tramode earlier today. Lewis is back with me now. Lewis, we've had an update on this.
Yeah, Vasamai. So in the last few moments, I've had the following statement from the Alamein Constabulary. As I mentioned there, we had approached for further comment because we had that statement this afternoon explaining that the bull had been dispatched, i.e. the bull had to have been killed earlier by trained officers. So this is what we've had. It says, the bull, which was due to be dispatched by the Isle of Man meat plant, became extremely aggressive, putting workers who are experienced in managing cattle at significant risk. The meat plant was unable to utilise conventional methods for dispatch. The bull became more agitated, and the meat plant requested assistance from the police to dispatch the animal. Before the police arrived, further contact was received by 999 that the bull had escaped and entered some nearby residential estates, passing near to a primary school. Contact was immediately made with the school to initiate safety procedures. The bull was located at Douglas Rugby Club, having gone through nearby fields, and therefore could have easily escaped, police say, by the same entry or via other available exits. We've had this quote from Superintendent Steve Maddox, who says the Isle of Man meat plant asked for police assistance to dispatch the animal, but unfortunately it escaped prior to our arrival. As per the applied professional practice in relation to firearms operations, authorised firearms officers were deployed to negate the threat to the public. We fully understand the public's upset with an animal having been dispatched, but there was no easy way to contain the bull. It had free rein to go anywhere, having already travelled through an estate and near a primary school. I'm aware that there were workers in the area who filmed the incident. We have no control over people filming in a public place or indeed what they choose to do with the footage. Steve Maddox goes on to say a number of shots were required to kill the bull due to the size of the animal. We would like to state to the public that there were no missed shots and the public were not put in unnecessary danger by the police. The police do not have the capability to tranquilise animals, as has been suggested, and utilising a trained professional was not a viable option for wider public safety reasons. Now, the Isle of Man meat plant attended the location quickly and removed the bull. Sergeant Maddox goes on to say, I'm aware some of the comments from members of the public suggesting we could have corralled the bull into a wagon or field with gates. These options were considered at the time by the firearms commanders and operatives, but again, were not deemed to be viable options. And as he mentioned there about the Isle of Man meat plant, we are expecting comment from the Isle of Man meat plant on this imminently.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. So an update on the main news stories that we were talking about earlier, and that full statement will shortly be available on the Manx Radio website. It is 22 minutes past five. Now, a former Manx bard is set to release a poetry anthology next month, created by the eighth bard, Michael Manning. It's themed around working with a homeless charity. The collection is called Gry, Prophetic Utopian, and Michael Manning has been talking to Howard.
It's very much based on my experience is working with a charity, local charity called Gry, which is the Manx word for love. It's a charity that served people who were homeless on the island, and it's a collection that's quite tightly focused really around the lives of the men and women that I met, relationships formed, questions, challenges, inspiration, so very much around those sorts of experiences, and really seeking, I suppose, how the reality of the lives on the margins, even in a place like the Isle of Man, can have power to speak to us today.
And I think, as you're saying there, people on the margins, and I suppose that just that in itself, using that phrase, people living on the margins, a lot of people on the Isle of Man might think, oh, you know, might not even be aware that we have people exactly in those sort of circumstances living here, which a lot of people might think, oh, it's a very prosperous place.
Absolutely, and that was something that we saw quite a lot of through my work with Gry. I mean, I got involved with the work that would become Gry 20 years ago, you know, and was with them for the best part of 17 years or so. And, you know, we saw hundreds of different people, some requiring shelter for just a night or two, some requiring lots of other sort of different sorts of help, lots of food, and just really meeting people and trying to build relationships and support people in the lives that they had. And so sometimes I think in small communities, problems can be just a little bit more hidden because they're not as visible. You know, we don't see people begging down Strand Street or necessarily necessarily sleeping rough in shop doorways, but it does happen on the margins, but it's out of people's sight, and so that makes it easier for us to ignore.
That is the former Manx bard Michael Manning talking about his poetry anthology that he's going to launch next month on the subject of homelessness. He was talking to Howard as part of Spotlight, and you can find the Spotlight episodes as a podcast at manxradio.com. It's supported by the Isle of Man Arts Council. This is Update, coming up to 25 past five. Time for the sports news now. Darren Timpson. Good evening, Darren.
Good evening. Starting in the TT, where Ian Lockyer has confirmed he'll no longer competitively race after 42 years on the mountain course. Lockyer first took to the famous track in 1983 as a newcomer in the Manx Grand Prix, finishing third behind Robert Dunlop and Steve Hislop. Since then, he has gone on to achieve more than 136 TT starts with 103 finishes, 10 TT victories and 29 podiums. He said he's grateful to everyone who supported me along the way and to those closest to me for putting up with my single-mindedness over the years. It's been an incredible journey. Isle of Man cyclist Lizzie Holden has announced she'll also retire in the past 24 hours. Holden, who is currently competing in the Tour of Chongming Island in China, has taken to Instagram to announce the news. In the post, she said she'll be forever grateful for having to be able to call cycling a job for so many years. The 28-year-old, who races for UAE Team ADQ, had been suffering with injuries after a crash at the Simac Tour last month and returned to the track earlier than expected. In the statement, she says, after a difficult few years, losing a lot of confidence on the bike and finally a crash resulting in a broken collarbone, numerous broken ribs and a punctured lung, it feels like the right time to move on to a new chapter. And in athletics, Manxman Krista Kane has set a new Isle of Man women's marathon record in the USA. Competing in the Chicago Marathon at the weekend, Krista crossed the line in an impressive 2 hours, 35 minutes and 31 seconds. That beats her time set in London earlier this year by 1 minute and 54 seconds. As well as beating her own personal record, Krista was also the first British runner to cross the line at the event. And in hockey, the Isle of Man women's over 45 took to the English Hockey Championships at the weekend. They were drawn against Tier 1 side Formby, losing the game 5-1. Kirsty Guy scored the only goal for the island.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. That is pretty much all from Update this evening. As I mentioned earlier, all the details of tonight's top stories can be found at manxradio.com. Very shortly, that full police statement will also be available, just outlining the situation with that bull that was on the Tramode area earlier today. Coming up next, it's Countryside. It's with Simon and Kiri. That's from 5:30. Then at 6, it's Greatest Hits. Michelle Kane looking after things for Chris Kinley from 6 p.m. At 9, the Folk Show with John Barker, and then Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10 p.m. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.